The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. Well, we're up to Purim. For many, that's the greatest of Yomim Tovim. For many, it's a dread. And unfortunately, for parents of teenagers and maybe even young adults and maybe even older adults, it's something that is usually of serious concern. And I thought maybe to address the issue this evening with some ideas that may or may not be helpful, but maybe at least give a little perspective, if nothing else. The Rambam says, famous, this year, I think more than ever before, it's being quoted, at the end of Hilchas Purim, Hilchas Megillah, says that the person who has, I guess, completed all of the mitzvahs hayoyim, he gave shalach monas, matonas avyoyim, sudas purim he has, and Megillah. It's a mitzvah to be marbe matonas laniyim. Better with the additional money to give matonas levyoyim, to give more gifts to poor people. He says, because there is no simcha, G'doylo mefu'oro, such real amazing simcha, like the simcha of one who rejoices the hearts of the downtrodden. Shehamesameach levum lolim halolu doyme l'shchino, shenemar l'hachyus nefesh folim l'hachyus lev nitkoim. Because one who rejoices the broken hearts of the downtrodden is comparable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's l'hachyus nefesh folim, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He uplifts, he gives life to the downtrodden. And it seems from the Rambam that since Purim is a union of Simcha, Simchas Hayoim, and to be marbe, to have as much Simcha as possible is what is called for. And the greatest source of Simcha is giving to others. One who gives to others, who makes the less fortunate happy. And the reason for that, the Rambam says, is because such a person is doma to Hashem, is comparable to Hashem. It seems that, especially in light of the definition of simcha, of happiness in life, osher, having to do with validation, to feel good about oneself, then how much better can I feel about myself if I'm doma l'shchino? I'm comparable to Hashem himself. Hashem does this, and so do I. I've elevated myself to a comparison to the Creator himself. Wow, I certainly feel valid, I certainly feel good about myself, and since Purim is a day of Simcha, the greatest source of Simcha can come from giving. And of course, it's obvious that this giving is a greater source of Simcha than the Suda, and even than the Adlo Yoda Mitzvah that one would fulfill during the Suda. And if we could think about it for a moment, and if we had the receptive ears of our children for a few, to be able to understand that which makes me feel better about myself is a greater source of simcha than elevating myself chemically, than temporarily dousing the pain, trying to fill that void with substances that temporarily just deaden that pain. I think that it's somewhat understandable. If you'll ask a child, even a teenager, especially a teenager that may have had a drinking experience, you know, right now, today, do you feel more pleasure from that drunken stupor that you experienced, or from that family that you were able to help and that was so full of smiles and happiness and benefit what you did for them in a way that was just unbelievable. You'll ask any child, you'll ask any person, and anyone who's honest enough will tell you, the high that I felt, the feelings that I felt, the emotional, whatever they may have been, from drinking or any of the other material, physical pleasures, I have nothing from that now. I have no pleasure. I derive no pleasure from it. In fact, the pleasure was very short-lived to begin with, and before I knew it, I was down and miserable. On the other hand, the pleasure of helping someone, the good that I did, I can think about that any time. When I think about that, it makes me feel good. And the truth be told, that since it made me feel better about myself, it added another notch to the feeling better about myself, then that reverberates now, even without the conscious mind of thinking about it, because I am now a step elevated in my own mind about myself because of that act of giving that I did. Giving is such an act of making one feel good about himself. Maybe I've mentioned this before, but the Ramban on the Posuk, Vayikach Yitzchok es Rivka oihelo soro vayeho veho vayinochim Yitzchok achare imoy. So the Ramban says Yitzchok took Rivka to his mother's Sora's tent and he loved her. And then it says, and he found consolation after his mother's passing. And the Ramban is bothered by, what's the hemshech between vayeho veho, he loved her, and he found consolation. And Ramban says, because he loved her, vayeho veho, in his love for her, he found consolation for his mother. Strange. I would have said, in his wife's love for him. His mother passed on. His mother loved him so much. He now had a wife who loved him. That's the substitute. That's the consolation. No. The greatest consolation, even though I'm lacking that wife who loved him, he doesn't have. But the greatest consolation is not the love that she substitutes. It's the love that he gives. Giving is the greatest source of feeling good. When a person needs nechoma, and so many of our kids today, especially those that would tend to drink out of hand, they need consolation. There's a void, there's an emptiness, there's something missing, they're broken of spirits, they feel so frustrated oftentimes, they feel like failures, they feel like a waste, they feel they have no life, they don't know what the tachlis, what the purpose of it all is, especially if they're going through difficulty. And what they have to realize is that the greatest source of removal of all of these difficulties is the act of giving. That giving will leave an indelible imprint on a person. I'm good. I'm giving. I'm caring. I'm godly. I'm validated. I'm uplifting myself, and I feel better about myself with every act of giving. And that better feeling remains etched forever in my personality. That I feel that much better. Every act of elevation, of real elevation, feeling good about myself, makes me feel even better about myself. And Mimela, I can want to feel good, to feel worthy, to feel godly, to feel elevated, to be happy because I feel validated. So I think this is a bit of a message for our kids. But I think there's a message for us as well, and I think this message has to be not preached, the first message that is, not preached, not lectured, but discussed, just as a discussion. Lectures, you know, kids don't listen. Just like when the rabbi gets up in front of the congregation and he's talking to a specific person, and that guy just goes down in his seat and lets the message go over his head to the guy behind him. That's what our kids do. They let it roll off their backs. They let it go over their heads. They don't listen to preaching. They don't listen to speeching. They don't listen to lectures. They don't listen to scolding. They don't listen to raised voices, but they do engage in conversation and in argumentation. But the conversation, engage them in conversation, stimulate their minds to think about what they're doing and of course the potential possible dangers that exist. And unfortunately, ask any Hatzolah member and they'll be glad to share with you, although in confidentiality, about the names of some of the close encounters, and hopefully not worse, that they experience every Purim. But there's something else, and I think that's also critical. The Torah says, Elohei ma'aseicho lo yisas eloch. And it seems from the Sipurnu that the Torah forbids us from using some types of techniques. Maybe it seems it's like a kameya, some type of not necessarily appropriate skulas, efforts to bring about success, to bring about the material pleasures, physical pleasures, and so forth and so on, and to enhance our material existence. And the Torah says, you can't do this. And the Sipunu explains that even if you might think that there's no rebelliousness against Hashem, because I'm not turning to this as a god, I'm just turning to this as a way of getting stuff. You know, I'm going to get these worldly pleasures through this effort, and therefore I'm interested. He says, no, you can't do that, because that's keneged the chefetz Hashem. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to turn only to Him. That is the formula. And He brings the posuk in Divrei Hayomim that we say every day in Tachnun, v'anachnun, l'neida, ma'anase. We don't know what to do under these terrible circumstances. The only thing is, we focus our eyes on You. We await Your help. We put our trust in You. And it seems that we've been given the ultimate formula. Don't have to use these inappropriate formula to get the benefits of this world. Trust in Hashem. You'll get the benefits of this world too. Then the Sipunu continues. It starts with Chag HaMatzos and talks about the different Yomim Tovim. And the Sipunu says, since the Torah forbade us to get the benefits of this world through Elohei Maseicho, now it comes and tells us, if you take matzah, you'll have a schus, you'll get this. If you take this, you'll have parnosa. If you take this, it gives us means, it shares with us means to achieve success and benefit in this world, in the worldly sense. It would seem to me that if the Torah told us that this is not the way, and the Torah didn't say you shouldn't get it, but say here, put your focus on Hashem. You want something? Hashem takes care of everything. I just told me today that spoke to a friend of his about bitochen. This fella had bitochen for some not such appropriate things, he says, and it seems to work. Bitochen is an amazing thing. Bitochen has a tremendous koyach. The Gemara says, "Ganve b'machtaru terachmona kariya." So, like, Hashem gives us a formula. Ki elecho einenu. That's it. That's what the Sipurnu explains. Now, what is he telling us? Oh, now that I asked everything, I'm going to tell you all the benefits you can get through the observance of Pesach, of Matzah, of Sukkah, and so forth. It seems, and I think that lesson is very pertinent for us, that it isn't enough to forbid our children, or ourselves for that matter, from indulging in certain worldly pleasures. It isn't indulging them through inappropriate means. It isn't even enough if we've offered them the spiritual approach to be able to achieve those pleasures and enjoyment and material benefits in this world. We also have to offer it to them in a very down-to-earth, earthly way by saying, if you do this, you'll get this. If you do matzah, you'll get wealth. If you do this, you get this. Why? Because that's what the human being needs. So if we tell our children, don't drink Purim, and we tell them, you'll elevate yourself spiritually. You'll feel so good about yourself. You'll be doyma l'Hashem, help poor people. You'll be l'hachyus nefesh shvolim. That's doyma l'Hashem. That's the greatest source of simcha, and that's the way to achieve full happiness in this world. That's all true and it's all good. But we also have to offer them an alternative to enjoy this world. If we can come up with safe alternatives for fun, which can be equal or vie at least in terms of the pleasure that they can enjoy, and it's a healthy and it's a wholesome and it's a secure way, then we can accomplish the goal. Just letting them know that there's a spiritual thing which can rise above and maybe even help them to get what they want, that's not enough. they have to substitute. It's very important to substitute. I know that there are communities that have learned the hard way that when they didn't want to have gym for kids to play and all types of other things where the community could have ways to pass their leisure time in a healthy way, unfortunately those communities tended to pay dearly for the lack of such facilities, and I think I'm beginning to catch up with those ideas now. So the same thing here, we have to find something satisfying in the material. If our children around Purim time crave fun and frolic, let's invent for them not only the spiritual tachlif of the fun and frolic, which can help them in the long run uplift them spiritually. We also have to come up with some fun and frolic. I imagine if there are collections that go on that are supervised where there is no drinking, and I'm just assuming or hoping that there might be such things, and they can really have a blast, and they go together, and they whatever, they get dressed up and so forth, whatever it may be. But I think it's imperative for us as parents to find alternatives to have them to have a good time. There are certainly mesibas, and there are parties, and there are sudas that we could have. It could be that there are ways of compensating. If the entertainment at the suda is enough, that the alcohol will not be, or the overabundance of alcohol will not be missed, then that might go a long way. If we find other enjoyable means for them to indulge in, which can help them and sort of take their mind off these attractions, this can certainly be very, very helpful as well. I think that we have to, in general, not just Purim, be very sensitive to providing our children the means to enjoy this world, the permissible means to enjoy the permissible pleasures in this world, because that missing leaves, I guess, just like we saw here, such a void that despite all of the spiritual fulfillment of the Elecho Einenu, but I wanted something material. I didn't get it. It's hard. It's hard to cope. So that's, I think, a lesson that we have to keep in mind on Purim. To the degree that we can keep our children busy on Purim, if it's in delivering shalach monas or preparing shalach monas anything else they could do, if they play music for suda, if they any type of activity that can keep them busy and distracted from what having nothing to do brings, that certainly can be helpful. But I think there's another piece here as well, and that is as follows. Drinking certainly seems like a lot of fun. Most people don't see most observers don't see the after effect of this type of activity. That's something we suffer in private. And our children witnessing that can be oftentimes very negatively influenced by the experience. It's hard to preach sobriety when they see the opposite being modeled. Our kids don't understand the fine differences between age and status, age of parent and child, or status as parent and child. They basically see us as models, and we model the behavior that we model for them is the behavior that they're going to adapt and follow. And therefore, as parents, I think we have to be also very, very careful to set the right model, because if they see us drinking out of hand and they see the extent of our overwhelming state of incapacity, that certainly is an incentive for them to continue. And I might as well mention at this point something I heard many years ago from my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, Zochrono Livrocha, where he pointed out, it says, by Amalek, Vayovel Amalek, Zohar Shoshel Amalek, Asher Korcho Baderech. Amalek, Rashi says, cooled us off. And Rashi brings it, it's a moshel to an ambatya, a hot bath. First person who puts his foot in there gets burnt, but he cools it off for the next guy. So to Amalek attack Klal Yisrael, and they were devastated, but it made it easier for someone else to attack Klal Yisrael. And I would have thought, if you see that Amalek was beaten and they attack Klal Yisrael, the lesson should be, don't start up with Klal Yisrael. They win their battles. But it seems no. It seems the fact that someone did it, the image of someone taking that shot at Klal Yisrael, is more enabling for someone to follow that path than is even the understood or the discovered implication that crime doesn't pay because they lost the battle. Doesn't matter, they lost the battle. We saw them breach, we saw them shoot first, we saw the battle. That's the same thing, that's the way it cools it off for the next one. It makes the next one easier, even though he saw the fact that the enemy who started up with us was decimated. So this is something that we have to realize the power that they have. They tell a story about this kid whose father was a shikar. He was always looking for ways, to get his father off the bottle. And one day he sees a shikar wallowing in the schmutz in the street, and he calls his father over. He says, "Hey, Dad, look at this. And look what happens when you drink." And the father bends over and whispers into the shikar's ear, "Where'd you get the booze?" You know, we see what we see. We see what's in front of our eyes. The implication, I see how much suffering it caused that day. So it's very important that we realize our children are not going to learn from the krechtzing that we give, that we say the next day when we sober up. They're going to learn from our example. We have to set the kind of example and sacrifice. Sometimes it means a sacrifice, especially in the highly charged religious atmosphere of the kiyum of the mitzvah of Adal Yoda. We have to sometimes sacrifice in order that our children, in fact, do get the right message. And we should also realize that it's very, very tempting for them. It's a very big temptation for children to get drunk. We should not underestimate that. We should do whatever we can before Purim to educate them, to remind them, to encourage them, to bribe them, to reward them with all types of experiences during and after that might make it easier for them to eventually say that they're not going to get involved in something which could potentially be so dangerous to them.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.